What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Kickback FC. Appreciate you guys tuning in to our YouTube channel. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.
Welcome to the first episode of the Kickback FC, your go-to spot for unfiltered real talk about all things soccer. You know we got it covered. We're breaking down the biggest moments, hottest takes, and everything you need to know to stay plugged into the world's game. We'll even tap into other sports from time to time because if it's big in sports, we've got thoughts on it.
Absolutely.
Whether this is your first time tuning in or you've been rocking with us from the jump, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our friends and supporters. Once again, my name is Cornelius, and I'm joined by my boys and fellow co-hosts. Gabriel, how you feeling?
I feel great, man. We're in Spark Studios today. Beautiful atmosphere. Mike, how you feeling?
Hey, I'm feeling great. Anytime, you know, the boys get together, it's a good feeling. How about you, Salome?
Feeling good, man. Great weather. We got an exciting guest here with us. How about you, Cornelius?
Feeling great, Salome. Back to you for the intro.
Today's guest is helping shape the future of soccer here in Cleveland. She's part of the team bringing both an MLS Next team as well as a WPSL Pro team to the city. Please welcome Gina Prodan from the Cleveland Sports Group.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
Thank you. We appreciate your time. Thanks again for being here. We're excited to learn more about your vision, the work behind these two clubs, as well as how it fits into growing soccer here in Ohio. So before we get into our questions, just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and your background.
Sure. I grew up in Cleveland. I grew up playing soccer in a Croatian family. As I feel like I say to people, you know, growing up in a Croatian family, my dad played soccer for the Croatian team. Soccer was injected straight into my blood. As a lot of people do especially after college, I stopped playing because, you know, there's no time, there are no people. And I had a career in technology and marketing. And a few years ago, this campaign to bring a women's soccer team got on my radar. And because Cleveland is such a beautifully small place, kind of elbowed my way into some conversations and was able to get involved in the campaign for an NWSL team and then elbowed my way into more to where I am today, and I'm happy to, you know, to talk about that with you today.
Awesome. What inspired you and your team to pursue launching not just one but two professional clubs here in Cleveland?
So Cleveland Soccer Group was started in 2022 by Michael Murphy and Nolan Gallagher. They had sold their company Gravitas, which was video on demand. They, at their core, are Clevelanders. They actually moved their company here to prove, you know, just what a great market Cleveland is for pretty much any industry. But after they sold that that company, they were like, you know, what now? But one of the conversations they had was someone brought it to their attention that, you know, Cleveland was the last top 20 market that didn't have professional outdoor soccer. And they wanted to do something about it. And I believe it's Nolan, his thing that he says is, you know, Cleveland deserves nice things.
Absolutely.
So they started pursuing soccer. They looked at all of the leagues. And as we all know, there are exactly a million different leagues and choices. On the men's side, they did first go for tier one, but with the layout of MLS right now, there are already two teams in Ohio, and the expansion wasn't for tier one, just wasn't there for, you know, one more team in Ohio. They looked at other leagues, but ultimately the decision they came to was MLS Next Pro. And we're really excited about that team launching as an independent team in that league. Then at that same time, back in 2022, so they announced that team in 2022, they started pursuing an NWSL team. Their first bid, they went into it just kind of to figure out what,
what
the process, because when you decide that you want to get, and this is something I had no idea, I had no experience in this before I started working where I do, you know, they went into it, there was no like, here's your process, here's step one, two, and three, you know, they went through the process to find out what, you know, what it took, what was required, and they actually made it to the final four in that first go. When they made it to kind of the boardroom presenting, they did a great job. They, you know, had a lot of great people at the table. But the question of where are you going to play came up. And, you know, their assumption, which would also have been mine, was, you know, when we get a team, we'll we'll build a stadium. You know, you figure you get that first, then you build a place. And that is not the correct answer. So they went back and spent a year figuring that part out. You know, how do you build a stadium? Where do you build the stadium? You know, all the things that happen with it. So we, at some point during that journey, I joined as well, and I ran our Back the Bid campaign that was and the quick backstory on that, when they were going through that process, one of the pieces of feedback they got, which I believe was from one of the owners, was don't just come to the table with market data. Don't just tell us this is a great market, because everyone does, but show us, find a way to show us. And inspired by actually the season ticket pledge campaign that the Columbus Crew put on several years ago, when they were trying to save their team, we thought, let's do that. Let's do paid season ticket pledges to show people are, you know, ready to show up for this team. So we ended up with 16,000 season ticket pledges, and it was for 16,000. Thank you. For a stadium that the plan at that time was 12,500. So it was 16,000 season ticket pledges for a team that didn't exist and a stadium that didn't exist.
Did that surprise you, 16,000?
No.
Really?
I agree. Really neat, like getting involved in this, because I currently, like, my whole life is living in soccer world in Northeast Ohio. but also, like, understanding the way Cleveland shows up for sports. Not just the way we show up for the Cavs, for the Guardians, for the Browns, but, you know, especially the way we show up for the Monsters.
Absolutely.
And for the way that, you know, we have shown up for soccer, you know, when we've had it in great locations. And I feel like we have that energy bubbling up, and we have that foundation that I wasn't surprised, and that was why I got involved, because I felt like there were a lot. I really understood the pockets of audiences that we needed to reach, and every time we would do something that made it a little more real, whether it was announcing the stadium, acquiring the land, making it to the final three. The day we announced that we were in the final three, we got I think within 48 hours we had another 1,000 season ticket pledges. So every single time we would make something that would say, we're getting closer, we're inching closer, we would get more. And unfortunately, that didn't happen for us. After we found out that Denver got that NWSL team, we took a step back and a lot of deep breaths and figured, you know, thought about, you know, what are we trying to do here? What do we want to build? And then we looked at possible purchases of NWSL teams that were for sale. Mm-hmm. We looked at USL Super League. And ultimately what we decided was we wanted to start building the foundation for soccer long term. Okay. Not just, you know, what is the quick fix to get something here, but how do we start thinking about, like, what's going to be here after we're gone? Mm-hmm. What's going to be here to really make soccer strong? Not just for, like, what's going to fill the stadium, but what's going to really help talent grow, interest grow, the whole market grow. Summer of 2024, separate from my work with Cleveland Soccer Group, I signed an LOI with WPSL Pro, which is a Division II Women's Soccer League. It'll launch in 2027. I signed that LOI with the intent to run the team separately from the NWSL team. And just to be completely transparent, I thought 1,000% we were getting the NWSL team. I had zero doubts. I was very confident that, like, we were the right market. So I signed the LOI for this team because I knew that we would need a talent pipeline. We would need to start, you know, supporting that team. But I also liked it from the perspective that right now, on the men's side of the soccer system, there's should say like 1.5 leagues. There's one league and one announced league in Division One. There's USL Championship at Division Two. There are three leagues at Division Three, and then but there are about 100 professional men's teams right now. The women's side, there are 22, and women in the U.S. play amazing soccer. So I saw this as not only an opportunity to help fill and support that pathway, but it's also an opportunity to kind of challenge the way we value female athletes. So being able to have, and I can, I won't go too deeply into this unless you, you want to talk more about it, but it's an opportunity to create a complete player value proposition, that offers female athletes a full-time job. And full benefits, not only going into their career and helping them understand and to communicate and represent their value, but also when they're coming out of their careers, being able to bring women who have amazing leadership skills onto the field and be able to compensate them for that. But also if they want to go into front office work, coaching, or the industry, that we'll be able to be those, have a professional development path that helps them come out of their playing career into whatever comes next. So that's how we got to where we are today.
No, that's amazing. That's really inspiring to hear. And you're right. I mean, Cleveland definitely shows up for sports.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Columbus Crew played Inter Miami not too long ago. Mm-hmm. I know you guys went to the game.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty packed in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we packed out Brown Stadium. It was it was crazy to see how many people were there, to be honest.
Yeah, I think they said on the broadcast about, 60,000 showed up?
The Brown Stadium can fit about 65, so that's pretty much a sold-out stadium. And even on the smaller scale, I play for the Crunch, and when we had our playoffs and we hosted it here, thousands of fans came out. We had thousands of pre-sales. So, Cleveland's one of those cities. It's so tight-knit and a very tight-knit community where, once something happens and it's on the radar and it's marketed well, the city will definitely show up. So I wasn't surprised about the 16,000 either. Right. That number, that's amazing.
That's inspiring. You said something that really stuck with me in regards to, building a avenue for women, whether it be as a player after their career is over on the field. But before I pass it to Gabriel, I wanted to ask you, you're helping lead something historic here in Cleveland. What does that mean to you personally, especially as a woman in sports leadership?
On a daily basis, actually right now I have goosebumps. and that's what it is. Like, thinking about how much sports, not just mean in Cleveland, but I don't know if you, sports to me aren't just, the game that's played on the field. It's, the way it, inspires people to find what greatness they have. And, but I also think that it's a really great platform to, for the women's side, it matters a lot to me that we'll be able to, from this level, potentially change the way the other divisions, consider the way they value women. How does that impact not only the NWSL and USL Super League, but the European leagues? How does it affect the WNBA? How does it affect, women who are outside of sports? If we can start doing that, and that, of course, I hope will ripple through the other parts of soccer on the men's side as well. But I think that, when the decisions were being made for what leagues we joined, it was not only that, we want these to be our foundational teams. We absolutely want to build on top of it. But the other part of it is that we're not just coming in and kind of flopping these teams on, on top of what's happening in Cleveland. It's our responsibility. It's our opportunity to fill every single stadium of soccer to get, the Crunch games to be sold out every game.
Love it.
to have the Crunch be in a venue that, that you deserve.
Yeah.
And, to have soccer become a regular part of people's lives, not just because, it's an amazing game and I'm partial to how much passion comes out of it and how much it brings people together. But I think it's an opportunity to bring something new to Cleveland that, that people will be able to pass on to their children. So that's what it means to me, on so many different levels. I love love the game. But to me, it's all of the things that happen, you know, outside of that pitch that are really going to there are hard days. They're really hard days. But when you think about, like, you know, okay, just get to that next point, and like all of those things can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you spoke on this a little bit, but, you know, with you bringing, you said you had the opportunity to potentially, you know, buy other teams, and, you know, you explored that market, but you really wanted to build a foundation here. Why do you feel like right now is the time? What's it about Cleveland? And I have my own, you know, kind of thoughts on it, but, you know, for you, like, why do you think right now is the perfect time to start that mission and that movement?
I think it's actually way past time.
I agree. See, I think it's way past due.
I think no time like yesterday or the day before. Oh, yeah. But I do think that even you think about how quickly women's sports are growing. When Michael and Nolan first got into this, like, you know, I think the franchise fee for an NWSL team was $5 million. Mind you, I don't have $5 million. That's still a lot of money. but the NWSL team that Denver just acquired went for $110 million. The next one will probably go between $200 to $300 million. Also money I don't have. I think that, you know, we think about the upswing that I don't want to say upswing, the growth that we're seeing in women's sports, it's not only in how many people are looking or watching, or, you know, buying tickets or buying merch, but also you're seeing this great growth in the level of talent on the field.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe you touched on this recently in one of your recent episodes, and I talk about this often with NWSL and especially with the WNBA. Cool. The generation of girls who are coming up in basketball and soccer are the first generations that had that level of professional women's sports and as their reality and something that they could grow into. You know, when I was growing up, it was, you know, my dad just kept saying, "Why don't you just play tennis?" he was a professional soccer player. but it wasn't something that was, you know, if you keep feeling like, you know, it's like I loved to play, and granted, keep in mind that wasn't the reason why I didn't become a professional soccer player. There's, you know, me not being that caliber of athlete. But I think that right now we're past time. I think that, you know, we are in danger of missing the opportunity. And that, for me, you know, when we talk to people about, you know, the urgency of building this stadium, Cleveland is the last top 40 market without a soccer stadium.
Wow.
And, you know, right now, as I always say, it's like it's an amazing time to talk to people in Cleveland about building sports venues. But it's to me, it's less about, you know, let's build another sports venue. But there is the reason why, you know, so many markets are building these is, one, the sport is growing. We can expect another 35 million fans minimum after the World Cup next year. And then the Women's World Cup will be in 2031. So, you know, we can only expect growth upon growth upon growth. And then, you know, is Cleveland just going to be sitting there everybody else? Or are we going to be in the game? And that's why, you know, we're pushing so hard. And, you know, at this point, it's been, you know, Michael and Nolan have been in this for at least 5 years. I've been in it for 2. So I think that we're going to be, I hope we're going to finally be the group that like puffs it over and we get it all done.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's the perfect time. Like you said, it's overdue, but even just starting now with the Women's World Cup coming here in 2031, like you just said, the World Cup, Men's World Cup going to be here next year, all of the U.S. You know, just the time to build that momentum and then officially, you know, get that team, hopefully, and then continue just to move forward and forward is going to be amazing. You spoke on this a little bit as well, but, you know, we talk all about time and how we want to build it from the ground up, you know, from the youth levels to, you know, high school, college, professionally. Kind of what do you see the impact of these two teams having in Cleveland on the pitch, but also off the pitch, just locally for the community. Because I, like I said, I have my own thoughts, but I want to know your thoughts. Just how do you see the impact, and where do you see the impact so far?
Well, my personal goal for on the women's side is to get our first U.S. women's senior team. Mm-hmm. Player. We have had plenty of close. Players.
Yeah, make I know it. A couple. I know a couple. Yeah.
But we, I'd love for that to be a regular occurrence, that, you know, Cleveland starts producing that level of talent on the women's side, and we want to be able to support, you know, and get more men to those levels. For a community, like, one of the things that's most important to me, you know, professional soccer means a lot to me. I love watching it. I love supporting it. But that's only going to be a sliver of the people we want to impact. I believe with my whole heart, I run a pickup soccer league during the summer. It's such an easy sport to get people involved in. You know, like, I can be on a field, you can be on a field, you are significantly better than I am, but we can still play,
yes,
right?
Absolutely. We play in co-ed leagues, you know,
right.
So yeah.
And, you know, I will play very hard, but you're still more skilled than I am, but you're not going to say, like, oh, well, you know, it's not like a lot of other sports where, you know, you will beat me, but it'll still be fun. But I feel like it's one of those things that you can so easily get people involved in, get people on a field, play at whatever level. And I believe when I talk to you guys, maybe you know, one of the things that I loved watching, we went to an Akron City FC game, and the pitch where they play, there's a little patch of grass, and I brought four boys with me, and there were a handful of other kids there, and someone had a ball, and they took off their shoes, made four piles, and played. That's it. And in, you know, especially in the United States, like, I feel like we make a lot of kids feel like you have to pay for this. Yeah. You've got to go to a thing. You've got to have all this stuff. And that's, you know, that's how you learn soccer. And to me, that's like a lot of why we're really limited in this country with how far people go, because, like, you're really only allowing the people whose families can afford it, whose families can also afford to take entire weekend vacations to soccer tournaments. And it, like, it just keeps going up. But then, like, at what point is it, and it's, like, at what point is it, are you losing the people who have the passion and the fire for it? Some of those people absolutely have the passion. If you're fortunate to have the passion, the fire, the support system, whatever, great. But I feel like you're missing a huge part of the population that can rise above the, and, you know, we look at the whole world, and it's not just very wealthy people. But I think that, and it's not even, I feel like too, I think it's not only, you know, that I feel like that is the outcome, you know, that you want on that side. But it's like, as far as health is concerned, it's a really, again, a really accessible sport. Getting people involved in it helps with, you know, their, you know, how active they are as children, as teens, as adults, and how well they communicate, like, they connect with the people around them. Mm-hmm. And so that's the work that we'll be doing through our foundation as well. We have already started a mini pitch initiative in coordination with U.S. Soccer Foundation. We installed our first mini pitch at Urban Community School, and we're currently evaluating other sites for that. And we'll have a number of other programs that just, I mean, part of it is just kind of like peeling back those layers for people and making them understand, like, no, just get a ball. Like, I would love to have, like, just like every child have a soccer ball. And I keep saying, like, or even, like, you know, just always having $10 soccer balls available. I went somewhere recently where they had like a sale bin of $10 soccer balls, and I took 8 of them, and they were like, what you doing there? I'm like, my kids are going to lose these in about 5 days. But just the power of having, like, there isn't a day that goes by that they don't touch a soccer ball because it's there. And the more we can do that for kids, the goal doesn't always have to be that you become a professional soccer player, but if you become a healthier human, your motor, like, even at an early age, you know, your motor skills are better. There's so much that comes from it that I feel like we we've spent a lot of time and energy on, you know, only valuing the top end, but, you know, the full spectrum of just getting people moving is important to what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think all of us on this pod agree. I mean, speaking just from my personal experience, and we've spoken on this before, Knuts and I are products of, you know, paying on scholarship and, you know, not having the accessibility and not always having the funds to, you know, be able to do that. So shout out to Donnie, who's wearing the Select. Yeah, Donnie Soccer Club. We started with Cleveland Select, and that's how we got our club, you know, our club career started, and that's how we were able to kind of elevate throughout the ranks. And it's amazing to hear that you want to, you know, do something similar and even expand on that. And, you know, we, as men, you know, we get that in the men's game, but I don't know if they get that on the women's side as well. I don't really know of any women I've talked to that, I know a lot of women football players, but that have actually, you know, been on scholarship before. And, you know, just making it more accessible is massive. And it's funny because I have a little mini ball in my house, and there's not a day goes by that I don't touch that mini ball, whether it's just a keep up one time and put it down, or while I'm walking upstairs or downstairs, you know, just if you make it more accessible, more people are just bound to, you know, to play a little bit more. So I love hearing about that. Right before I pass it off to Cornelius, I definitely just want to ask a little bit, now that we're in that process of, you know, these teams are coming here, what has the process looked like for, and you've seen so much community support, right? What does the support look like in terms of, you know, getting the brands on board, getting, you know, starting to look at coaches potentially, you know, the foundation of the actual teams, the players, how far, maybe you haven't started yet, but, you know, just kind of walk us through that process, how it's been and, you know, how far along you are.
So we are still very early in that process. We are looking at kind of those early hires to help shape the business side as well as the sporting side before we get to, like, and we've been very fortunate because we have, you know, as soon as we announced either team, we had a ton of like players reach out, and I'm like, I really appreciate you, but like, I can't recruit you. But anybody, and just so everybody, like anyone who reaches out to us, like we keep track of everybody, especially people who reach out for any type of job or want to play or whatever, you know, we keep all of that. We can't, and usually, you know, if I can keep up, I'll say like, we're just not there yet, but we have you now. So on that side, developing the team, we're still kind of at the early business stages, right. the startup stages. We're spending a lot of our time now just solidifying the stadium plan, because honestly, if we can't build the stadium, we have no place to play. So we are still in the process of finalizing that, and we're hoping to break ground this summer. Right. Once we break ground, like the second the shovel hits, all of these other, we have so many plans in place, where they're just ready to execute. So we're ready to roll with those as soon as we finalize that. We've been really fortunate that, we've had, incoming requests for, sponsorship support. So, you know, we've already started those conversations. Anybody who's seen we put out a brand survey, this weekend at the W Sports Bar, we had papers out for people to design scarves and help name the team. We've had a ton of responses from that. I was originally going to close that after a week, but we kept getting responses. I'm like, keep it coming. So that's, you know, that we're still kind of, we have done a lot of work, and a lot of it is just kind of like, we're doing stuff, and like that one's ready to go. That one's ready to go. And as soon as we know that we're ready to roll on the stadium, we press go on a lot of things.
Absolutely.
Where's the stadium supposed to be? I'm sorry.
It's diagonally across the street from Progressive Field.
Okay.
Amazing. Yeah, I saw a little picture. Amazing location. So much foot traffic from everywhere, and it's in the heart of Cleveland. So
yeah.
So, and that's the one thing I like about Cleveland is that, on a nice summer day, a day like today, you can walk from all three major sports venues if you really wanted to. You know, they're all walkable. I mean, it might take 15, 20 minutes, but it's all walkable. And adding that to the mix as well is just amazing. So
we really wanted to be in that spot where we're in the middle of the location where people have been going to sports games for 30 years.
Right.
And we also would love to give Clevelanders the amazing experience of a doubleheader of multi-sports.
Yes.
Especially with where our seasons overlap, I think that there's an opportunity. You could do a basketball game and a soccer game, men's and hopefully women's. We'll be getting our WNBA team. And then, you know, or baseball and soccer. I think it's a really great opportunity to get people downtown, keep people downtown, and not just to be at the stadiums, but the, you know, at the bars and restaurants and other places.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I really like that, because as Gable was talking about how walkable the city is, especially with the stadiums, you know, the NFL draft just happened and the Browns had their draft party and the Monsters were also playing in the playoffs. So I was able to go to the draft party. We moved down our draft, and I was like, I'm trying to get to the game. Are we getting Shador or not? We end up getting our draft pick, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to get out of here. I run over. I see Gabriel at the Monsters game, and it took me 10 to 12 minutes. So just having that space, you know, right around where everyone is going to have all that foot traffic, I think is going to be amazing.
We can grow it even more.
You know? And so with that in mind, what do you expect the game day experience to feel like, especially for those who may be new to soccer, those who are kind of unfamiliar with the game? Do you guys have ideas of what that experience will be like once, you know, we do break ground and we do have that stadium in the heart of Cleveland?
Well, we've spent a lot of time thinking about that. And that's something that over the next, you know, couple of years will actually ongoing. We'll always get feedback from. We really love that when you enter from the north, I believe, you will go under the overpass. Yep. And we think that'll be an amazing part of the march to the match. And and when you walk under it, you can just imagine and hear kind of like the echo of cheers and how loud it'll get going into that, into the stadium. You know, that we have tried, you know, even in these early stages of designing the stadium, we've thought about, you know, all of the different tiers of the experience, you know, where people will sit, you know, our supporter section, you know, what types of, you know, what little details will make the experience great. I also go to a lot of soccer games. I actually go to a lot of different sports teams, but I always try to like look out for ways that, to me, it's really important, not only, you know, having high production level in the stadium in terms of, you know, the displays and the graphics and the engagement. I also, on the TV side, think this is an opportunity for women, for us to rethink the way women are shot in sports. I think right now, like, you figure the average, I don't know how tall the average like soccer player is, but between like what, 5'3" and 5'8" for women, and men are much taller.
Right.
but we still shoot, you know, still shoot from the same distance. So you're shooting somebody who's smaller, and then we go, but we can't see anything that they're doing.
Yeah, who is that?
But I think that it's an opportunity to just rethink, because it's a different game. So Dan Hughes, who was the coach of the Rockers, I was very fortunate to meet him last year, and he was, and I've always believed, you know, we think so much of like, how does women's soccer compare to men's soccer? How does men's basketball compare to women's basketball? And he was like, they're different sports. Why? Like, we don't say like, how does football compare to baseball?
Yeah.
We, you know, he's like, why don't we think of them from the way we talk about them and market them to like the way we watch them? You know, why don't we think of them as a different experience? And so that's what we are going to be looking at, you know, the way our men's games and our women's games, like, are there ways to make them better for that experience? But I really, and this is where we're very fortunate. So Brian Zimmerman, who's the CEO of the Cleveland Metro Parks, is a turf expert. So he won't be like, he won't be working on that for us, but I feel like he'll be able to give us good guidance on who, you know, whom we should talk to. Because I really want as many people to be like on the pitch as possible.
Okay.
Not that we're going to put, like, I want to be able to get people onto the pitch. We're already slated to have 60 to 70 events throughout the year. We don't want people playing on Easter basket grass. But we need to figure out, you know, what the solution looks like to provide a great experience for the athletes, but that's also reasonable for having a lot of events. But, you know, I'd love as many people to be able to touch the pitch, to, you know, whether they're playing, you know, halftime scrimmages or before match scrimmages, just opportunities to get people to touch that field, and be able to, you know, shoot a goal. Just whatever that looks like, you know, to be able to get people to feel that, feel soccer. I think it's the Seattle Sounders that has a program that's, they will, your first game is free.
Oh, wow.
And you sign up and they give you, you know, your first, I don't know what level of tickets it is, but, you know, I feel like, you know, for people who don't know soccer, that's something where it's like, oh, that's free tickets.
Yeah.
But when you look at, when you understand that, like, how many people go to one soccer game? I mean, very few people. Right. Very few people are going to go like once and be like,
It wasn't fun.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's what I feel like they understand, that like the, you know, being able to capture someone with that and say like, if I can get you to a game, I know that you're going to be here for many more. And, you know, we'd love not only programs like that. I want to get as many, especially because you said like this is relatively like professional soccer, professional outdoor soccer, I should say, is new to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Or at least most people who are alive. but, you know, being able to get people, you know, into the match, teach them, you know, we have a lot of opportunities to teach people the rules, and also work with our grassroots clubs, work with our indoor team to get people regularly to all of the games. And so I'd love to be able to, you know, create an experience there that, you know, makes people not only come back, but makes them say, what else? Yeah. What else is there? And, you know, maybe there are whole soccer experience packages that we can get people to all of the soccer games. So what that experience looks like, I feel like I went off on a long tangent. But
you painted the pictures.
It's going to be loud. And I just firmly believe that you get people there and get them to feel the passion around soccer that will be able to get them back. And also, there will be great food. I don't know what it is yet, but yes. As a Croatian person, the food is essential to the experience.
Julian, just before you go, I definitely want to say another personal experience which kind of shaped my outlook as well. Back in the day, you probably know as well, the Cleveland City Stars. We're in Cleveland. They used to play at Cleveland State. Mm-hmm. And I remember just being able to you know, get that green and white ball, go against that, you know, mini ball, go against that, you know, that concrete fence and have players sign it, being able to walk onto the pitch and just get that feeling of like, oh, there's a professional player who played here. Oh, this person was here. That changes lives, and it will definitely get people back. So I definitely just want to talk about that sentiment, because I really like that idea.
Yeah, I think, and that's one thing that we, to that end, I feel like being able to get the players out in the community, whether it's before a game, during the week, in ways that enhance like their connection to the community as well. I think it's one thing to kind of have, you know, players just play a game, you know, every X number of days, and just kind of like retreat to wherever. But like being, I feel like soccer is different in that way. And I know a lot of different sports, you know, they'll do events and things, but to me, soccer is different. Like soccer is much more part of the community. And we have an opportunity to you know, like change someone's life by like getting the, you know, and whatever ways that we can get our players, and I try, you know, I go into these kind of rabbit holes of like, you know, we should do this type of player engagement, and I have no players yet. I haven't.
Part of that, you know, just setting it in place so when it's ready, you know, just ready to execute.
That's something we've talked a lot about, and you know, we have a lot of people who have given us input, and I think that's something too where I have a lot of ideas, but I'm like, I need to talk to players first. I need to know, like, what's this? So I'll be talking to them.
I'm all ears.
No, I love that. I mean, Gabriel literally stole the idea right out of my head. I was thinking, you know, because you're talking about building a fan experience and, you know, being 9, 10, 11 years old, going down to Krenzler, you know, when you're a kid, you don't even realize that there's a soccer program, a collegiate program, kind of just right down the street. And so being involved with, you know, just being able to see the field, see, you know, the sun setting downtown, that might be part of the reason that you play that
clip. No, honestly,
you know, and
subconsciously,
all of those things, kind of like what you were saying earlier, this new wave of sports, these new women who are now getting the chance to go play pro, it's because we saw what the women's team did in the 2010s. I mean, they were huge. I mean, I talk about it all the time. The first professional game I saw was the men's team when they came here, when they played Belgium, I believe it was 2012 or 2013. It was a good game. And then the women came and they probably had two times as many fans.
Yep.
And just that in itself is like, that's a core memory for me, you know? And I remember being in, you know, 9-10-year-old shoes and seeing that Cleveland City Stars and just having that culture. Would you envision that being once the team comes here on the women's side?
Oh, we're going to be the two favorite teams in Cleveland.
There we go.
I think that's so going back to the idea of not being surprised, I think that we do have the opportunity to kind of change like the scale of a fan, and this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Kind of like we're like, you know, low key. But I think this is what I touched on before. I think that we have the opportunity to change, not just like, not establish these two teams as, you know, especially as we get started as the two, you know, professional outdoor soccer teams that we want people to follow, but to change the way soccer is considered in Northeast Ohio. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it's not, we want soccer to become a regular part of people's daily routines. Not just, you know, I think that it's an opportunity to grow the number of people playing, the number of, we have a lot of soccer programs in Northeast Ohio, and I think I hope that we can help encourage programs to have a little bit of order. Because mm-hmm. I think right now, as a soccer parent, I can tell you there you go. I was very fortunate that I was Croatian because I was like, "There's a Croatian flag."
Yeah.
and there are a lot of really there. I think too, like being able to help everyone talk more about soccer and become more engaged with it, that more people will understand like the different ways you can become involved with it. I always say to people, it's like, not every kid has to or wants to be in club soccer. Rec soccer is an amazing experience. And for kids who want to be active and just like, they want to play on those days and then do whatever else, they can still like love soccer and play at exactly the level that they want to be and become the biggest fan. They don't have to be like the, you know, an ECNL player to be a soccer fan. And I think that that's kind of the way soccer is packaged right now, as, you know, if you're not one of the top, you know, I talked about before we got started, my son's team played in State Cup, and, you know, everybody, you know, talks, they won, but, you know, of course their friends are like, "Oh, well, you know, you're still pre-ECNL, so like, it doesn't really matter." I'm just like, you're 11.
Yeah. Like a status thing.
Right. And, but I think that, you know, like you should still be proud of what you did and still love the sport and want to come back and continue to play. But on like, in terms of what we're building, I think it's an opportunity. Until there are any other teams, like this will be the first ever professional women's soccer team in Ohio. We will be the only, and until there's a WNBA team, we'll be the only professional women's sports team in Cleveland. And, you know, I think that there's, you know, there's that opportunity. So I think that, like, this is, I've said before, I'd like Cleveland to become a capital of women's sports. I think that there were a few articles, like, after I started having these conversations with people, there were a few cities that are like, "We're going to be the capital." And it's like, no, that's not the way you grow things. Like, we need a lot of capitals, one in every state, or a lot in every state. And I think that it's great that we're having that argument. But I think that, you know, we're going to start, you know, being able to not just say we had 16,000 ticket pledges and demand for women's sports, but here are our team, like we have this team coming up. Hopefully we'll have basketball. We are building the stadium so it can host rugby. We have an LOI from Women's Elite Rugby, a new league that launched to play games there. Not necessarily, and should we perform well? Maybe a team, but that's it's to play games there. Same with lacrosse on the men's side and the women's side. We want to continue to get to provide a platform for people to see not only, you know, women's sports, but different sports.
So you have like plans for it to be multi-use.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's where we get like our 60, 70 events, and need to like think about how turf works. But you know, we've built it so that the sleeves that are required for like rugby posts are there, and we want to make sure that it's, and that's, you know, to your point about like, you know, being able to walk there. We don't want it to be something we build and everybody looks at it from the outside. And there's one of the advantages and the purposes of partnering with the Metro Parks is that we want to activate that space. And we want there to be a park around the stadium. We want there to be soccer pitches around the stadium. We want to be able to get people to that space on a regular basis, not just on game day.
No, I love that. You know, I currently coach, you know, at a rec level in Cleveland Heights, and it's what you said was so important to me, especially about the women's side, because I'm coaching actually one of my high school teammates' daughter, who's now 3-4 years old, and I'm just like, Kayla, when are you gonna come coach with us? And she was like, man, honestly, I need to start coaching. So, you know, the culture is very, very important, because it just shows what's possible. You know, we always talk about representation mattering. And, you know, my last question was going to be about growth, and you answered that perfectly. So just going to hand it over to Mike.
So what, I know you're still in the beginning stages, but what would success look like in your opinion? What the vision you have for these two teams you're trying to bring to Cleveland, ultimately, once it's put in, what would success look like?
That when I walk anywhere in Cleveland, within eyeshot, there are at least 5 people wearing soccer jerseys. Okay. May or may not be Cleveland soccer jerseys, but there are people wearing soccer jerseys.
I like that.
That's good.
I like that.
No, I agree. I it surprises me that, you know, for how big of a city Cleveland is, you know, professional teams, NBA, NFL, there really isn't a soccer team, like, you know, professional. Well, there's the Crunch, but you would think, you know, Cleveland would have maybe an MLS team, USL team, or even an NWSL team. So I kind of like what you guys are doing a lot. It's going to change the outlook on the sports in Cleveland, especially bringing a sports team like that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I think one thing that I know for a fact, and Mike, you may agree with me, is people from Cleveland.
Oh yeah.
Like,
correct.
If you're from Cleveland, you love everything about Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I've known that for just knowing him for all these years, meeting him as well too, and knowing him over the years, like, it's really, and we're from Columbus. I live in Cincinnati now. People are not like, oh, I'm from Columbus, you know? People from Cleveland, and I just thought about that because you were, you know, talking about really building through the community.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the foundation, and I think that's, you guys got that in the bag already.
Yeah.
Because people from Cleveland definitely support Cleveland. Yeah. Like 100%.
And so, I think we'll get the travelers too. You know, you know, once the teams come and, you know, there's different cities, different place, we will travel.
Even
from the Crunch, man, we had people, we were playing in Omaha. We had fans come to Omaha with us. We had fans, which Chicago, just. And it wasn't a huge amount of people, but just those small 5, 10, 15 people, whether it's parents, you know, and maybe that parent brought their kid, just that whole experience and just seeing that type of community is very, very special. So I think, like Salam said, that foundation that you want to build in, it's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, and Clevelanders end up everywhere.
I feel like
there was a story in, I think, the New York Times probably like 15 years ago, but it was basically a guy who was on a plane in China. And he stood up and there was someone wearing like a Browns hat, and he was just like, and he was from Cleveland, and he was like, what? Oh, and I feel like that's, and I also had a friend who was wearing a shirt that said Bernie Kosar for president, and he was flying to Miami and was getting off the plane and walking through first class and runs into Bernie Kosar while wearing that shirt. They have a great picture together.
I've seen Bernie in the airport as well.
But I feel like that's, you know, one of the things that we were asked when we presented to the NWSL, they said, you know, we're Cleveland teams, the Browns average last year was something about like 101% attendance. Wow. The Cavs were 110%. The Monsters, which you may know, they the average for their league is about 8,000 fans. The Guardians, or the Guardians, the Monsters average about 11,000. And the Guardians are around, like, I think they were somewhere around like 75%. But that's, those are huge numbers. We show up for these, and they were asking, they're like, okay, well, are you oversubscribed? And it was interesting because, you know, we're at the table, most of us are Clevelanders, and like that, and I had an answer for it, but it was one of those things where I'm like, you don't get it. Yeah. Like, you don't. But I think too, what I tried to express is, not only do you not understand like the Cleveland sports spirit, but also that we have this entire audience of people who want women's sports that aren't served right now. So they're going to show up. And I don't think, and this is something that, you know, when we talk to, we try to create good relationships with the other sports teams in town. And just try to express that, like, we want to be additive. We don't want it to be, you're going to go here or there, but we want to figure out a way that, like, we fit into the economics of it. And that it's not just like, let's throw on another expense, but how do we make it feasible for families to go to games and for people to make it to, you know, to support all of these teams. So we want to make sure that we're working with every sport at every level, so that just all of our teams in Cleveland can be, have people show up and fill the stands and make it economically viable for, on the family and fan side, to the team side, to be successful in Cleveland.
So what has been the most rewarding aspect of this whole journey so far?
Talking to people like you. It's between, as I mentioned, you know, when we were getting season ticket pledges, the people who would come would say, like, I really want this. People who want to tell the story, and like discovering how many people are telling the story of, like, speaking about soccer in Cleveland, being, you know, just also having like that part of me that when, so, you know, like I said, like I saw the campaign launched, and like there was that little part of me that was not only thinking they're, you know, they're missing markets that they should be taking advantage of, but also like, I have to be part of this. I have to be part of what's driving this. And just kind of seeing that, like, that little thing in me, that instinct was right. Mm-hmm. This isn't an right thing, but just like, believing that, you know, this belongs here, this will thrive here, and kind of seeing, like, piece by piece, meeting more people. It's really, like, really gratifying. But also, there are so many of us that love soccer, and we deserve nice things. we want this here. And, you know, I can't speak on it enough that, you know, the soccer that's already here, deserves more fans and more attention. And sometimes that's just a matter of, you know, just continuing to communicate it, having people understand that, you know, there's soccer available to you now. But I think that, you know, since we've been able to get so much attention for what we've been doing, that, again, it's our responsibility, our opportunity to just make sure people know, you know, you don't have to wait for us. We do want you at our games. But there's so much soccer that we'll have once we launch these teams. We'll have soccer year round. We will, you know, you can get a year long pass to go to the, you know, go to the Crunch, come to the outdoor games, absolutely, take a nap in December, and then get right back to it. But I think that's you know, we want to make sure that I very personally want to make sure that we are able to be a support. Create a support system for all levels, all the way down to youth and rec, you know, so that people feel like they have what they need to, and find the joy and feel the passion that, you know, people who love soccer and have for a long time get.
You're right. We all feel this way. Last week we went to, what's it last week? FC Cincinnati game? Two weeks ago. And I was telling him how much moved I was. You know, FC Cincinnati is about, what, 5 years old? And that stadium was packed.
Five or six years old.
I mean, I'm a crew guy, so I get it. I was very moved. I'm like, who would have thought there was a soccer community in Cincinnati?
And I'm not going to lie, FC Cincinnati's been like that even when they're in the USL. You know, their stadium was getting packed week in, week out. I remember because I didn't get a chance to play, but I was playing for Cleveland SC at the time. And I just got on the team a little bit too late, so they couldn't put me in for the Open Cup. But Cleveland had the chance to go play. We got deep enough in the tournament where we actually got to go play FC Cincinnati. And that's before, you know, I think they tried to get into the MLS, but their bid got denied. And I think maybe 2 or 3 years after that is when they finally got in. But that support, it's been there, you know. And that, like you said, it's here in Cleveland as well.
We're winning that MLS Cup this year.
All right.
You heard it here first.
Last question before we get into rapid fire. What advice would you give to women trying to break into leadership roles in sports or soccer specifically?
Don't stop. I think that I've learned so much the past year and a half, and a big part of that is that I have been fortunate enough to work with people who I would say like shove me forward. So Michael Murphy is the person I work with most closely. He's one of the co-founders, and I can't tell you how many like Zooms we've been on where I would text him like, we should do this, or like, we need to think about that, and he'd say, stop texting me and say that out loud. And it was like, it's that, like, and there are so many opportunities. Like, I'd never been involved in stadium financing. And it's not that I was put in charge of it, but I was given the opportunity, just saying, I want to learn this, or I want to be part of this, is what got me. And, you know, I worked really hard on everything I did. And, you know, I think that that's something, one of the things that I should take a step back. We, over the past 2 years, try to tell the story often because I think it's something people don't realize. We would get a lot of people who would like cold email either Michael or Nolan and say, I want to work for Cleveland Pro Soccer. And it was over about a year, it was about 50 men and one woman. As someone who would rather die than cold email somebody and say, you know, can I work for you? I saw that as like, okay, we need to get in front of more people who, you know, like who do great work, but like may not be the type of person who does that. So, you know, I put together a general application, put it on social media. We ended up getting about 220 more people, and it was a much different makeup of group. It was a lot more women. It was a lot of different people with different backgrounds than we were getting before. The other people were great. It's not to say that we don't need them to reach out as well, but understanding that they, like, that was the tip of the iceberg. But for me, particularly women were less likely to try to elbow their way in. I got, you know, involved in this because I complained enough to people who were in the position to say, like, go, you know, and they, like, I was, again, pushed from behind. And I have learned very quickly over the past year, and not necessarily that I've broken myself of that. I need to continue to learn that. But, like, women in particular, or anybody who doesn't advocate for themselves, even if you're in a position, I think too often we're expecting ourselves to be, you know, overqualified for something, to be, you know, to have to check all the boxes and more to even show up. And for me, it's been, you know, I want to grow into a role of, you know, leadership in sports. I've never worked in sports, but I am damn good at technology, and I'm damn good at marketing. I'm damn good at all of these things that I may not have done in sports, but I've been able to get into this conversation and work with people. So I think on both sides of, like, you know, anybody who is pursuing that type of role, especially women, be willing to say, you know, can I learn this? Can I show up to this? Can I give this a try without having to be overqualified for that, and be able to, you know, be curious and learn along the way, but also, you know, people who are in positions to support people who are doing that, you know, be able to, you know, pull them along, push them, and tell them to stop texting you on the side and actually say things out loud. So that would be my advice.
No, that's inspiring. I know firsthand how, I mean, I'm sure all of us could attest to this. Like, representation matters. I think kids really need to see examples of whatever it is that they're aspiring to do. So as someone who coached youth soccer on the girls' side for 4 years, and now as someone who has a daughter myself, she's 2 years old, and, like, in the future, my hope is that I'm able to take her to a women's game and not to be like, I mean, yeah, we want to go to this FC Cincinnati game. Like, you know, if you want to go watch your favorite player, we can do that. So that's really inspiring. And, you know, we really appreciate the work that you're doing in terms of bringing professional sports here, obviously with the MLS Next team, but with this women's team as well, too. But let's get into some rapid-fire questions real quick. What's on your playlist? What do you listen to music-wise?
Oh, boy. It depends on the day. I listen to a lot of 90s hip-hop. I'm 45 years old. That was, like, what I came up with. Do you want specific artists? I listen to a lot of Frank Ocean. See, now I'm going to be blanking on every single author. Everything else I listen to. But it depends on the mood, too. I like Florence and the Machine. I think The Far Side is probably one of my favorite groups. So I'd say, like, in an average day. And then occasionally I'll come upon some really, like, bad guilty pleasure songs that I will listen to over and over again. Like, there's that song Hello by, I think it's Dragonette, that is amazing, and I've listened to too many times and don't want anyone to play this segment back to me.
A player, past or present, you'd build your team around?
Oh, well, on the women's side, Temo Chiwenga. I think that she not only is, she, within seconds, which I told you when I walked in, within seconds of seeing her play, it was very clear, like, sparkles came out of her. It was like, this is a generational player. What's interesting about her is, like, someone who doesn't know what they're seeing, I feel like, might not notice her because she is so quietly amazing, and doesn't have, like, the loud personality. And I feel like a number of players, like, she and, like, Barbara Banda, don't have, like they're not, like, loud people. And I feel like that's, like, their generation might be missing out, that these two women in particular are out there. But she changes the pace of the game. She's probably scared. I can't imagine being a defender. And she gets the balls, like, shoot.
Running full speed, has to, you know, step over here.
And it's just like, I feel like Casey Curran, social media, like, would regularly have, like, Roadrunner, like, the cartoon. Because, like, she gets the ball and just, like, and just, I think that, like, I hope that this generation of girls gets to watch players like her and just think about, like, all the finer details of how she got to where she is. I mean, there's passion, there's talent, but you, like, her footwork, how quickly she reacts, how she knows to be in the right spot. I think it can be really, she's gotten a handful of goals, like, you know, on rebounds or people's mistakes, but those aren't accidents. She's not like, oh, lucky me. But she knows how and where to be, and there's so many layers to who she is as a player that it wouldn't just be, you know, when thinking about building a team, it's not just like who scores a lot or who's a great defender, but who's going to inspire all the people around you to like figure out like, how do I get seven more levels up?
No, absolutely. I remember the first time I watched like this one specific highlight of her, and I watched it like probably 5 times, 10 times in a row. And I just remember us talking about it like, yo, have y'all seen
y'all seen
y'all seen what I'm seeing?
And like the way she would just stop, start, accelerate, how quickly, like you said, where, how many goals, you know, she contributes, and she's amazing. So.
My 45-year-old knees, every time she pivots, I'm like, good for you.
What's one thing Cleveland fans should know about the new teams?
Season ticket deposits are open. You can catch your
heard that first.
You can it's if you pledged, your $26 carries over to the women's team. If not, it's $26 for a season ticket deposit. And a big part of that is that, especially these first few months, we'll be reaching out to people who make deposits and say, like, what is a ticket worth to you? Like, what does a price range look like? What does the experience look like? And so it's not just saving your seat, but it's also being like part of a founding group of people who are going to help craft what that experience looks like.
Okay. Amazing. Most underrated part of working in soccer?
People. I spent all last summer going to soccer camps and talking to people all over the Cleveland area, and feeling they're being able to break the news to them that we were going to have professional soccer, and hearing what they wanted to, not like, what do you want to get out of the experience, but like, what does that mean to you? And what do you hope it changes in your life? I don't, as I've said, I don't think of sports as, oh, let's put these players on a pitch and see what happens. But like, how does that impact putting more women rec to professional soccer, so.
Okay. All right. One word to describe what's coming to Cleveland soccer.
There's a hyphen, life-changing.
Very good. Okay. Say less. Would you rather win a last-minute thriller or dominate from kickoff?
Last minute.
Some good smash and grab.
Love it. And last question here. If someone in Cleveland has never followed professional soccer, what would you say to get them excited about what's coming?
Oh, wow. There's a reason why soccer is the biggest sport in the world. And it's not because it's fancy. It's not because it's, you know, it's, there aren't great, you know, it's not a big spectacle. Actually, it is kind of, but that, like, there's so much, it's an experience that people have never, people who aren't already interested in soccer, they haven't had this experience yet. Otherwise, they would be. And I feel like for people who haven't yet, I encourage them to open themselves to soccer, because it's easy to get into, whether you're playing or watching, and it will open you up to conversations with people that you never thought you would.
I agree. I just want to say one thing, because the amount of people that I'm sure we've all spoken to that have been to every other sports game, basketball, football, hockey, you name it, right? And they go to a soccer match, and then they see the chants and the consistent, you know, just the fans being so involved in every moment of the match. I see so many of my friends that travel go to Europe, and they're like, yeah, I went to a soccer match. I've never been to anything like it. And it's just like, whoa, like I was not, NFL games aren't like this. Like it's just consistently loud all the time. And just that, the passion that we have for the sport, I think it just always just bleeds through and catches every non-soccer fan at that time, you know, by surprise. So I definitely agree with that.
I feel like unless you've been in a soccer stadium where like everyone sings a song at the beginning of a match and like
scarves are up.
If you walk away from that and are like, like, okay, it's not for you. Yeah. It's, but you know, if you go, I feel like that's something also we want people's input on. You know, what does that look and sound like in Cleveland? But I have such, you know, having people attend you know, matches that are already going on in Cleveland, you know, just start catching that bug. And by the time these teams get here, again, we want to be additive. We want to spend the next couple of years, you know, helping everyone understand what offsides means.
Please. That's the biggest question. Yeah. That's true. Even professionally. Oh, man.
But, you know, really, you know, spending this time getting people on board. And so it's a running start. And with next year, with the Men's World Cup being in the United States, we want to activate as many spaces as we can in Northeast Ohio, not only getting people to watch, you know, watch games, but what does that mean? You know, how do we use that to get people to, you know, our grassroots games, so that, you know, they're not just seeing it on TV as, you know, these, you know, national teams playing, but like, how do you like experience that and then, you know, be able to feel it in person? So that's what we'll be doing the next couple of years. So we hope that more and more people will join the ride.
I don't think you told us the expected date of completion for the stadium. You guys have one yet?
So we will kick off our MLS Next Pro and our WPSL Pro teams will kick off in spring of 2027.
Spring of 2027.
All right. And so we are hoping in the meantime, as we break ground and build the stadium, we do want to do as many activations of that space as we can. So, you know, being able to give hard hat tours, have, you know, an experiential center, get people to that space so that, again, it's not just like, surprise, it's here. Yeah. But start now getting people to feel this as a soccer space. All right.
Thank you. You guys got anything before we close out?
No, I just want to, I mean, I said this the first time we met, but I'm so glad that the people spearheading this have the passion behind it. You know, sometimes you just get businessmen or people that see an opportunity and they just want to go and cash in, but you guys really are starting from the ground up. You want to involve the community, you want to build a culture, you want to build something that'll stay here forever. And honestly, I think, you know, me and Gabriel have been waiting for this for a very, very
long time. Way too long. Way too long.
So once again, thank you, and I just can't wait.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This is great. And look forward to continuing the conversation with you.
Absolutely. And we want to shout out the W Sports Bar as well.
Yes. Yeah. Please, please definitely go check out the W Sports Bar. It is an amazing, amazing sports bar. And they don't only just play women's sports as well. They also do. We watched the Cavs game there one night. But even just being at the W, I didn't know you could watch pro women's hockey. I didn't know you could watch pro women's volleyball. And I think I told you as well, Cleveland State women's volleyball has been very, very good for many years, and I always wondered where they go after, avenues to play. And being in that sports bar and being going on the TV, and be like, oh, this is available? Like, you can go and watch it? I didn't know. So very, very informative, amazing atmosphere, amazing food, always amazing drinks, amazing people. So
and amazing people. I've run into both of you there
twice. Absolutely, absolutely. So
it's definitely a new home base.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. So
definitely. Next time we're there, drinks on Mike. But no, Gina, thank you again for this opportunity. We really appreciated learning more about your vision, your background, and just what you guys are bringing here to Cleveland. Like Gabriel said, this is long overdue. And, you know, just coaching youth soccer, like Northeast Ohio, like, there's some ballers up here.
Yeah.
So it's always been like that. And, you know, for you guys to, you know, bringing a team here is going to be huge for the community. And we're excited to see that. So
thank you.
Thank you again.
You're the, oh, lastly, your pick for NWSL final. Who you got?
Casey Current. I'm not sure how the brackets will break down or playoffs will break down. I would love to see Casey Current in spirit. If that works out in terms of the way the play, I don't know off the top of my head, but I feel like Spirit is my number two team, Casey Current my number one team, and I would be happy with either one. I feel like Spirit is like they're gritty. They even through last season, like they fight for every advantage. And Casey Current is, I feel like last year they surprised a lot of people. honestly, it's like, I mean, they have a great team and they have a great coach. I feel like, you know, having that stadium and the energy, like that their team invested in them in the way they did, I feel like that added an extra wind behind them. And hopefully that continues into this year. But I think that they're, those are my two horses.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Like I said, we appreciate your time. You're the first guest that we ever had on the Kickback FC.
Thank you.
This is a big one for us. So, wow. Do we need a new outro? Keep it the same.
No, keep it the same.
Keep it the same outro.
Appreciate everybody for tuning in. As always, good luck to you and your future endeavors. Thank you.
All right.
That's a wrap.